here we are.
You know what we did do with the other guy?
Is our thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we've done that 100 times.
What's your thing?
Our thing is...
Authors like us.
Well, let's do it now. We'll show you.
I just did rehashing the one with Dan singing it.
Why?
Because it's awesome.
Oh, okay.
Okay, do it. Show me.
I'm James.
I'm Lee.
And welcome to Authors Like Us.
I've seen you do that a million times.
I did it purposely, like, a little bit more like...
Welcome to Authors Like Us.
Anyways, okay. And you are?
And I'm Casey Dyer, and we are here in a coffee shop because... Okay.
This is the first one where you're not going to be, I'm not going
to
talk.
I know, because I have to talk this time. Because
you're going to ask us.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We need the Lee and James interview.
This is the Lee and James update.
Right.
Because we're going to see what Lee and James have been up to lately.
Because we've been...
There's so much going on.
Yeah, we've not been together for a long time.
No, there's a lot going on. So even today, we're all heading off in different directions.
Well, it's kind of nice. We've got the trio back together again.
That's right.
You know,
the old team. It's the reunion.
It is. Yeah. It feels odd when I do events and there's not the two of you there.
I know. It's been such a crazy summer, too. I mean, we've all been so busy.
And by summer, you mean like from February till now.
Yeah, essentially, that's what I mean. This whole year has just been nuts. Yeah. So, what have you been up to lately, James?
Oh, starting with me.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Okay, so.
After that preamble.
All right, so why don't you talk a little bit about what happened in Pentagon this summer?
Oh, yeah. That was just the three of us.
That's right. That was the last time we were all together.
Are you questioning the interviewer?
Yeah.
I am. No, it was great. We went to Penticton to do the Razor Reader Camp. And I was doing my mapping thing with the... Well, we had all ages this time, too. So
it was a big camp this year.
It was a big camp. I mean, it was 5 days instead of 4 days. I had one class of 32 people, was it?
Right. So every day you had a different group of kids, right?
Yeah.
And some classes were like 15 all the way up to 30.
Up to 30, yeah. I had one class where there was 10.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, let's get down to what the listeners really want to know, which is what kind of street meat did you have in Pentagon?
I had a buffalo sausage.
I thought it was a bison.
A bison? Well, bison, buffalo. What's the difference?
I think bison is a French word for buffalo.
I think so, too.
There's no distinction?
Okay, no. I really think
go buffalo. Bison. It sounds better.
Okay, I had a bison sausage, and it was awesome.
I know, and I was there. I forced you to eat it.
It didn't take much prompting.
No, it didn't.
Did we take a photograph of that?
I did. I'll give it to you to put on
it was good. I like that,
very famously,
it was very garlicky because it was infused with garlic.
And you didn't get sick.
No, I didn't get sick.
We did, however, force street meat onto one of our party who got sick. And that wasn't
street meat. That was my brother. My brother lives in this town where we had the camp, and my brother is a man of the wilderness, and you will find many a delectable treat at his table.
Yeah.
And on that particular night, what was the treat? Moose meat.
Yeah. Moose sausage. It had something else in it, though.
I was eating it.
Okay.
Yeah, James loved it.
It didn't make you sick.
Didn't make James sick, but
you know what? You have a stomach for street meat.
He's cultivating
one. I don't have a stomach for anything else.
No, that was wilderness meat, actually.
So we put
more wild it is, the better I seem to do.
If I remember correctly, James, you harassed Callie, our other friend, and who was teaching at the camp with us, to try moose meat. And Callie doesn't really eat meat at all. So as I like to tell Callie, moose meat 1, Callie 0.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah. So,
but you know, one of the things that I really liked about that camp, just to sort of go back to
other
the camp,
than the meat.
Other than the street meat, is the fact that all the kids wanted to be there. That was the really inspiring part about the whole thing, is that you were in an element where kids were being allowed to be exactly who they were meant to be.
Right.
Whereas in their everyday life, it's like I've never done it.
I know.
In their everyday life, they're forced to hide who they are because they're embarrassed or ashamed or treated badly for it. So I had a lot of conversations with some of the kids about that very thing, where I think by the end of camp, they're actually quite sad because they have to go back to
reality.
The real world where they can't explore their true self.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of, what was nice about that camp, if I can chime in, they didn't have a lot of judgment, right? Remember we put on that talent show that they made themselves?
That was awesome.
And the talent show was awesome. It totally was. But, I mean, you know, there were some...
I don't off know. The wall talent.
Off the wall, yeah. But, you know, no one, some of the acts were totally great, some of them were experimental, and no one cared. Yeah. It was totally non-judgmental.
Yeah.
And
everybody just supported each other. Yeah.
Could you imagine some of those acts performed before your standard
high school
population?
Audience. Yeah.
You'd never not have a wedgie.
That's right, from a wedgie. So, Lee Edward Cody, after your scintillating experience in Penticton with Youth Right Camp, what did you do next?
What did I do next? Oh, I went to China.
You went to China.
And how could I forget?
For those listeners who are following this, there are some amazing blog posts, including impaled scorpions, pictures on Lee's blog.
So I went
at www.leepody.com.
Something like that.
Yeah.
You can link to it anywhere from there. Anyways,
If they're listening to this, they found our website.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
We hope so. Is someone still listening to all of this? I mean, it's complete utter drivel at this point.
It's interesting. I want to hear about your trip to China.
Well, I went to China, and I found myself in Beijing one night, which is very interesting. There was all sorts of things that happened. Some of them I can't talk about.
Was there street meat in Beijing?
There was street meat. It was very interesting. I found a very modern market in Beijing with all of the normal amenities that you find anywhere like here in North America. But then down these little side alleys was the pure kind of traditional
regular Chinese
street meat. Yeah. And my friend June, who was with me, was trying to get me to convince me to eat it. And I wouldn't do it, mostly because there was no camera or no recorder.
Or no James.
If there had been James, he would not have gotten out of that alley alive.
Yeah. I would have tried scorpion.
I don't know if you would. The scorpion was pretty disgusting because it was still wiggling. That's the trick with the scorpion. It's still wiggling. Yeah. I mean, and then they take it and they deep fry it and then you eat it. And it's like,
yeah,
really?
But it's not wiggling after you deep fry it.
Yeah, but do you really want to eat something that you just saw wiggle?
I used to skin fish.
Okay.
Okay. Well, there you go.
This may explain, Karen, why you're a vegetarian.
Vegetarian. I'd like to add that for the record.
Right.
I would like to add that I don't consider scorpion meat.
Well, very interesting enough, they apparently farm it there, and they farm it in such
a way. They farm scorpions?
Yeah, and it's without the toxin in it, or the poison, the venom.
Oh.
I don't know how that's possible. I don't know how they do it, but that's
maybe
the rumor.
Maybe they use it with, apple DNA.
Maybe. Oh.
But
so
you know, they
genetically modified scorpions?
Maybe. Because you know how they genetically modify apples with scorpion DNA to make it more resistant to pests?
Maybe they're exchanging DNA.
We need to take
a stand
against GMO scorpions.
Yeah.
It's a political show now.
It is. Okay, after China,
I think they just make the scorpions listen to Dido or something just to make them feel better, you know? Like make
Feist.
Them have Feist, yeah.
Then they want to die.
Then they want to die. And you know, they're jumping onto the skewers.
Okay, so after your experience in China
and
you
I have to say, I went to but before that, I did also go to the Great Wall,
you went
which
to Great
was
Wall
my momentous, China. My momentous.
You found serenity
on
the Great
serenity.
Wall.
Yeah, I did. I found clarity. Because I'd like to point out that some people at this table, James, said that I would never. I've been talking about going to the Great Wall for a while.
You have.
And people
scoffed at you.
People have been scoffing.
I still don't actually believe that it happened.
So saying that.
I have photographic evidence. All right, it needs to go up on
it.
It needs to go up on the podcast.
I can show it. Because people...
I mean, I can get photographic evidence, quotes of me there, too.
No, I took...
You can Photoshop you on the
I actually took...
With him.
I actually took photographs of my shadow on the Great Wall steps and also my feet and everything. So I've got proof.
So it's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I was just like to say, certain people scoffed that I would not go, and this is a dream that I did finally achieve, and it was... everything that I wanted.
Good.
And then I went to Korea, to teach a camp there, which seems so long ago now, on the theme of safari. And I did not eat street meat in Korea, but I did eat street treats. So I ate, it's called Pudo, Karen. Pudo.
I've seen it.
Yep.
You've seen the pictures.
Seen I saw
that
the
I took
picture
pictures of.
Blog.
You haven't seen the pictures of the Great Wall, but you've seen the pictures of the Pudo.
I don't remember. Did you put Great Wall pictures on your blog?
I possibly.
I don't think you did.
Maybe
there's the scorpions on sticks, and there's the Pudo.
There's the Pudo.
I put the corn stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pudo is basically a pancake on a stick. Everything's on a stick in Asia. It's put it on a stick. They'll buy it.
Sell it to the white guys.
Yeah, and I did. But it's shaped like poo, and it's even stuffed with this.
Okay, by poo, are you referring to excrement?
Yes.
Okay.
Not like the bear.
Would that be human?
Thank you for keeping our show PG-13.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Would that be human excrement? line or just poo in general?
Cartoon poo.
Cartoon next.
So fake poo.
Like how you would
pseudo poo.
How they draw it in a cartoon. How they draw it. Okay, that's a love letter. How they draw it in a cartoon. You know?
No.
That's an inside joke for our listeners. Karen's now laughing. She's in the corner. That's
in a coma. We're gonna pause this for a moment for Karen to
collect herself.
Right. I'm not Karen. I'm Casey.
Casey. Did it again.
Well, okay. In fairness to us,
did it first.
I know, but in fairness to us, we're all friends, so we don't.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Okay. So
I only call you Casey when I'm when I'm trying to impress someone.
I'm only Casey when I'm wearing my tights.
I'm trying to pretend when I know, like I know Casey Dar.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, it's shaped in the shape of cartoon poo.
Cartoon poo.
It's stuffed with Korean paste.
And it's wrapped in dough.
It's wrapped in dough. It's like the outside tastes like pancake. The inside's stuffed with this. I don't know if you've ever had it, James. That Korean bean.
I've never eaten fake excrement.
No. No, I'm talking about the bean, like
bean
the traditional.
Bean
I think, is because it's brownish in color.
That's why I didn't eat it, actually.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah. Well, I've been to Mexico a few times. I like the refried bean thing, and I like the Korean bean.
Yeah.
And it was very good. Oddly, I wanted to just buy one, and I don't speak Korean, and so the vendor didn't speak Korean, and he wouldn't let me buy one. I had to buy four. So I bought four.
How much did four cost?
Oh, nothing.
Like
I don't know.
Yen?
A won?
No, that's a won. Yen is Japanese.
Oh.
You've just offended an entire country.
It's a won?
It's a won.
In Korea.
Won. Yeah.
I forgot that we were in Korea because I thought we were still back in China,
actually,
but I would have got it wrong anyway.
Yeah. Actually, we're in Vancouver.
The whirlwind tour.
It's multicultural. All right, so that sounds like it was quite the experience.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And so, while you were eating pudo, you were also teaching at a camp in Korea.
Yeah, we were teaching on a creative writing camp, and we taught on the theme of safari, which was quite fun.
Right.
So,
and again, it was you and Callie George.
Yes.
Who didn't have any run-ins with moose meat in Korea.
No moose meat.
No.
She stayed healthy, though.
Korea.
Yeah.
She stayed healthy, so that's...
Well, that's another story.
Yeah.
But,
But
what I was going to say, James, for the safari camp, I don't know if you know this, but Callie let me buy an Indiana Jones whip. As part of the costume kit. So I have an Indiana Jones whip, or someone has it. I bought one, and I never let anyone use it the whole time. The kids were laughing because I was trying to...
You know what? I have one, too.
You do?
Mm-hmm. I got it. You know who gave it to me? Michael Slade.
It must be a better one.
The Horrormeister, Michael Slade. Because he was being, 1 year at Surrey International Writers Conference, he was...
Is it a real whip?
It's no. Well, I mean, it's a...
Prop.
It's a prop whip.
Yeah.
That's right. You can make it go crack.
I can't make mine go crack. I tried a lot. I normally just ended up
hitting
my ankle.
It'll go crack, but it doesn't... It wouldn't, like, whip anything or curl around anything. It's just...
I don't think whips can actually do... Actually, they can. Have you ever seen the video of the guy?
Yes, you showed it to me.
Harrison Ford, how to use it.
Right, that guy's amazing. He's an amazing whip guy.
Yeah, because I didn't think that was actually possible until I saw that
video.
What
are you talking about? He does it all the time in the Indiana Jones movies.
Because
and if it's
so
in the movie,
bad.
It's got to be true.
The background noise is because both of these two keep putting their cups down on the table where we're recording. So, what does it say that two out of the three of the children's authors at this table own whips?
Nerds. Huge nerds.
So,
and there goes our PG-13.
We lost it already. James.
Karen Casey.
Sorry, I answered both. What else did you do that was interesting this summer?
Good question. What else?
Dude, you went to Winnipeg.
Oh, yeah, I went to Winnipeg.
Idiot. You launched a book.
Book launch.
I did.
Winnipeg.
At McNally Robinson Bookseller.
Tell us about it.
It was fantastic. Well, originally, I was hoping that my Taekwondo school that I went to as a teenager would be able to do a demonstration. So I contacted my old master at that school, found out that my old master was actually at a different school.
He joined the force.
And the school that I went to wasn't able to pull it together because it was only like 2 weeks before the launch. So it was really short notice. So actually my sister's school wound up doing a demonstration. And
you mean the school your sister goes to?
The school my sister goes to. She's a second degree black belt in Taekwondo. And her school actually put this on. And
you have a scary family.
I do. I know.
Does your mom do Taekwondo?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I was the first to actually get into it.
What about your brother-in-law?
No.
Okay.
What about your nephew?
My brother-in-law was a bodybuilder.
Okay.
My nephew was a second degree black belt too, I think.
Holy
black belt. I don't know what degree he got.
Yeah. Okay.
But once he got the black, I think he quit. Because he wanted him. He's young. He wants to try the...
Lots of martial arts.
Lots of martial arts. It's true. Yeah, but the wife of... my former master, actually, who I trained with, too, she wound up coming because Raul Reese was actually off out of town, but she wanted to come and say hello, and it was really awesome. It was really cool to reconnect.
So you had a great turnout?
I had a huge
turnout. Your book became a bestseller at the store. Flying Feet, by the way, is the name of the book.
Flying Feet?
Yeah, Flying Feet became the number one bestseller at McNally Robinson for that week.
Isn't that awesome?
It was really cool. I was pretty happy about it. And I also found out afterwards, thank you. I'm going to put this down over here. I also found out afterwards that Kang's Academy, the school that I had trained at, they bought a copy afterwards, a signed copy, and they put it into a silent auction at an event that they had at their 35-year celebration, I think it was. And it actually was their highest bidded on
Oh, cool.
Oh,
item.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, and so they emailed me to tell me that this information is... I thought that was really cool.
So it was just a resounding success.
Yeah, and the woman that went out and made sure that this happened, I'd actually trained with her as well. And she had emailed me to tell me that that people were all really impressed that she had trained with me and blah, blah, blah. And it's just, you know, it's one of those moments that, it's a rare moment that you have as an author, I think, especially in Canada, where you have any kind of recognition. And it was...
Oh, that's fantastic.
Dude, it happens to us all the time. Do you guys remember when we were in Penticton, going back to where we started? We went to the movie. We won't talk about the movie we saw. But remember, we went to the movie during one night when we were teaching at the camp. The next day...
Joseph.
No, it wasn't Joseph. Nope. It was a different student. And he said to me, because the rumor had gotten out that we were going to the movie.
Right.
And he said, did you go to the movie? And I said, yes. He goes, well, how? And I was like, well, what do you mean, how did I go to the movie? I go, I exchanged money, and they, you know, I gave money, and they let me go to the movie. He goes, but how did you get past all of the roaring fans? Like, how did the people let you into the theater? Now, keep in mind, this was a fairly small town. It's like 30,000 people. So it was just funny, because in his mind,
we were such big
celebrities that we wouldn't be able to go onto public. And the people would swarm us, and we wouldn't be able to get through.
It has happened. We've had events where things have just been nuts.
Yeah, everything goes right.
That's right.
Yeah, well, my McNally event, honestly, was a little bit like that.
Isn't that fantastic?
It was absolutely brilliant. They had started out with 10 chairs, and they had to keep on bringing in chairs, and people kept coming.
Awesome. Yeah. So
I felt that way at my last launch.
Here's my question for you on behalf of Lee. While you were in Winnipeg, did you eat street meat?
No. There was no time. I would have.
This is what happens when I'm
not there. He had no bad influence. You were there with Annette.
I had good influence. She was the one saying to me, you know, no.
What else did you do while you were in Winnipeg? Did you do it?
I had a 2-week vacation in the span of 4 days.
Okay.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Every single highlight that you could possibly do in Winnipeg, we went to the Forks, which is kind of, if you're in Vancouver, you know what Granville Island is. It's kind of like that.
It's like an artsy kind of...
It's an artsy, on-the-river kind of shopping little center.
Yeah.
With fashionable restaurants and things like that. It's very cool, actually.
Yeah. And did it have sort of an outdoor market? Because it was summertime?
Yes. It did not. Just an indoor market.
Okay.
I wish it had an outdoor market. I think that's its next step. And then the next day we went to the lake. We went to Lake Winnipeg.
Right.
And went to Gimli, Manitoba, which is actually where the Vikings settled in Manitoba.
Isn't Gimli the name of a Lord of the Rings character?
Yes.
Yeah, the dwarf, right?
Is he named after? Was he like?
I doubt it.
I think you should just go with that. If I was the town of Gimli,
actually, interestingly enough,
and then Gimli didn't rhyme with Oin and Gloin, and they were all brother dwarfs.
Well, maybe he was the outcast.
Maybe.
Yeah, he was the dark. He was the black dwarf of the family. Yeah,
there is a small town in Manitoba called Flin Flon, Manitoba, which is actually named after a science fiction character.
That's true.
Because the I can't remember who it was that actually settled the town. He was reading a book about a character named Flinigan Flanagan.
There's also the town Vulcan or something, isn't there?
There is Vulcan in Alberta.
Maybe we should go on a Nerds R Us tour.
Minnedosa with the giant statue of the mosquito.
Okay, speaking of mosquitoes, how were the bugs in Manitoba?
Sprayed Winnipeg.
Okay, but that's vile spray.
No, it was probably beautiful spray.
It probably had...
What's that lump on your neck right now?
Well, that's this weird growth.
It's not West Nile. I can tell you that I have been sprayed year after year when I was a kid. It's never had any effect.
Lisa,
We're not even going to go there.
I don't even know what to say to that.
That just opens too many doors. So, is there anything else that we should talk about? What else have we been doing this summer.
Yeah, because we got to wrap this up.
Yeah, we got to wrap this up because we've got busy lives. I don't know. We also went to pirate camp, James and I. We taught pirates.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we taught pirate camp.
Did a lot of teaching.
Right? And you taught at VPL?
I taught at Vancouver Public Library Camp. Did that as well.
That was fun. I went to the last day of that. And,
yeah, I dragged you to that.
Yeah, I carried books for you. And,
I was not invited.
You were doing something else. You were emceeing some gala.
Yeah. Emceeing a gala.
Oh, yeah. For Summer Dream.
Yeah, we were there. You didn't invite me.
Yeah, because you were busy.
Yeah.
So.
Not the point.
Okay. It's actually quite rare for the three of us these days to all be in the same room. It doesn't happen a lot.
Plus,
I'm the only one who lives in the city. You guys live in other time zones.
Yeah. Well, yeah, time zones where you can find parking.
Yeah, I know. That's why we're here.
I almost parked in front of. I gave one more sweep, and I decided if I didn't find parking, I was going to ask you to meet me down here, but you didn't.
Yeah, I would have done that.
Yeah.
We almost had to.
Yeah.
I met him the other night downtown, and when he was trying to find parking, and I'm impressed that you actually made it. I thought you were going to.
That was not my fault that time. Because
I got the address wrong.
No, Telus gave me the wrong one.
Oh.
I wanted to figure what address it was. I had parked, and I was good. Thank you. And I phoned Telus and said, I need the location of whatever the coffee place was. And they gave me two locations.
Dude, if you phoned them and said whatever coffee place, that's why you got the wrong address.
And then they gave me the wrong one. And then when the guy, and I said, where are you guys? And he gave me the address. I went to that one. I was like, okay, this is wrong. I'm going by my original thought. And I went back down to Gastown.
And sure enough.
I'd like to point out that I was not with him
when he got lost. And he got lost all on his own.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I always get lost in my own.
So we have to wrap it up. That was me that time. The way that we're wrapping it up is we're going to talk about what you guys have coming up. Okay? What you're looking forward to this fall.
Quickly in 30 seconds.
30 seconds each. Go.
I'm going to Toronto in September, and that's for a little bit of R&R plus to meet. I am going to a book launch there, actually.
Vicki
Van Sickle launching her first book with Scholastic. That'll be a lot of fun.
Meet some friends. Hang out.
The famous Carrie Lynn Winters.
Yep.
It'll be awesome.
The famous and very lucky Carrie Lynn Winters. Yeah. And what have you got coming up?
James? I'm going to be emceeing Denise Jayden's launch of her new book, Losing Faith.
Right.
And really looking forward to that and seeing a friend's book get launched into the world. I think that's going to be great. And I'm doing Word on the Street.
Word on the Street. Me too. Yeah. I'm doing Word on the Street.
Yeah. So
we're all doing Summer Dream on Saturday, but by the time this goes up, Summer Dream will be a memory.
I don't think I can go to Word. I might be in San Diego for Word on the Street.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I'll be there. I'm emceeing an event there too. You're not in the one I'm emceeing, though. Are you doing reading?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's lots going on, and I'm going to the UK in 2 days.
Yeah.
So, so that's fun too. Yeah.
The next time we'll all be together I don't know. I'll have to have another author's like Gus Halloween party.
Yes.
Yeah.
But before that, we'll be together before that.
You think?
Yeah.
And hopefully Ranker's supposed to be out.
Yay.
Next month, but
Yeah.
Let's launch that somewhere. Let's have a party.
It's a plan.
Yeah. All right.
We're done.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Karen.
Bye.
I'm Lee,
and you're listening to
Authors Like Us.
Hold on. We're just about to break into the
air. Yeah.
Are you now?
Now it'd be on, yes.
Arrgh, here we be a pirate camp.
You'd be talking to James McCann.
Dude, that's not your pirate name.
You'd not be talking to James McCann. You'd be talking to, what was my pirate name? Long James Silver.
And I'd be Captain Wiz. And I haven't lost my mind yet.
And welcome to Authors
Like Us. Pirates. We gotta do this one part.
There's an outtake.
Okay.
Starting now.
Okay.
Arrgh. Take three.
Okay. Our union's gonna kick us out. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Arrgh. I am Long James Silver.
And I be Captain Wiz.
And you'll be listening to Authors Like Us.
Dude, right now we're pirates. We're not authors. Well, we are authors, too, but we're
like
also pirates.
I see where you go with this.
Yeah.
Take four.
No, that's okay. That's good enough.
Pirates Like Us.
We don't have all day. That's true.